last night I went clothing shopping a little bit. I needed, because I'm going to Taiwan tomorrow. Was that all? So I just looked for some clothes. I bought some socks and a new shirt. Just some cheapo stuff that was on clearance. And I noticed a certain themes, right? You walk around in the clothing stores and you see a lot of advertisements, a lot of pictures, a lot of people wearing the clothes. And I noticed a couple themes about some of the clothing as I watched. Like, for example, Nautica have the pictures of people on boats. You know, I was looking at clothing and I was wondering, like, you know, what do I look like if I buy these clothes? I look like cool, sexy people on boats. And I thought, well, I don't have a boat. I'm not cool and sexy either, so I don't think if I wear this shirt, I'm not gonna just like sit around and be like, you know, like I gotta hoist the sails or something. And I know some other themes too, like Polo by Ralph Lauren. It's these really rich and like I guess really preppy people, just like I don't know, they don't play tennis, they don't play polo, they just sit there in their polo outfits and with holding polo mallets and rackets, you know, like, so if I buy a polo, like a polo shirt, do I just sit there like this, like, all the time? You know, I notice there's a lot of, like, kind of, like, really preppy, it's kind of, I don't know, they look kind of snobby. You know, you don't really feel like you're welcoming. Like, if I walk up to them with my tennis racket, which I don't have, like, they'd probably be like, oh, you know, there's a very kind of a snobby kind of vibe to it sometimes. Aeropostale and Old Navy, for some reason, it's just like, I don't know, I don't go to this. I don't know how it's pronounced. Aeropostale. They deliver the mail or something. But there's a theme of like, let's just sit there. Like, they're just literally just sitting there or standing together in most of the advertisements. Like, Aeropostale or whatever, like, you know, they're just like sexy people just going like, we're just happy standing here. Old Navy, besides the creepy mannequins, it's just a bunch of like adults, multi-ethnic adults and children just standing there going, hi, yay, you know, like, it's not really going anywhere. And so I was wondering, like, if I buy this clothing, do I just, like, sit in groups all day and just smile? Express, you have, like, two ladies that should be crossing the street but instead are posing, which is dangerous because you might get run over. They're in a crosswalk, obviously, based on the stripes in the ground. I don't know what they're trying to do. Maybe they're directing traffic. Right, so if I buy Express, like, do I just, you know, sit there in crosswalks going, just like stare cars down? Like, I don't understand. And then I don't understand this guy's body language. He's got like the beautiful lady in his arm, but he's kind of like he's kind of like leaning away from her. And the Banana Republic again has like cool, sexy people just walking. Like most of the pictures, they're just walking. They're not really doing anything. And same with, they're just, I don't know, walking. So if I wear Banana Republic, I'll do a lot of walking. And American Eagle has, like, live your life. You know, if I buy American Eagle, I can get a scooter and, I don't know. And based on the camera angle, it looks like they're flying. And then the other one is We the People. I don't understand what that's trying to say. We the People live in American Eagle jeans. So I guess they live in their jeans. That doesn't sound very healthy. But one thing I noticed about these pictures, I mean, there's some good-looking people, but, like, they're not really doing anything. You know, I noticed advertisements. You advertise, you want to show an advertisement, and you want people to be like that. You want to show it. Like, for example, like, you know, sports, right? You go to, like, the Nike store, it's got a guy dunking or, you know, or a guy, like, playing basketball or tennis or whatever, they're all sweaty and they're all, you know, doing stuff. But a lot of clothing advertisements, I don't understand. They're not really doing anything, you know? And I try to, like, you know, when you look at an advertisement, the idea is that you have this advertisement, and when I look at it, I go, like, I want to be like that, you know? I like to have a six-pack and all, but I don't want to just sit on a boat all day like those people. You know, what's the message that the advertiser is trying to get across? And one thing that hit my mind, too, is that these advertisers, like, to me, they seem kind of silly, but these advertisers are paid, like, advertising agencies are paid, like, millions of dollars. They do a ton of research. They research, what do people want to see? What trends are cool? What advertisements hit people? What do people want to get out of life? Let's sell these clothing items. What do people want to see? What brings people in? What draws them to buy our clothing? And I noticed that all the themes of the clothing companies, besides, I mean, these are the only appropriate ones. There's some clothing advertisements that are really inappropriate. But these are the appropriate ones. And I noticed that there's nothing really, like, they're not doing anything. You know, like, you don't see, like, you know, American Eagle jeans, like, humanitarian aid, you know, like somebody's giving out Bibles or, I don't know, Salvation Army or something, right? You don't see, like, I don't know, Hollister clothing people, like, working in orphanages. You don't see them doing anything productive. Nautica, I ride on boats, you know, like, Express, I stand here in crosswalks. Like, there's not really any productive sense to it. And advertising agencies know that. And then that's kind of the image they portray. And it made me think, what is it that people want to be? What is it that people want to do? What do people love? Because right, these clothing companies aren't small. These are huge. They make millions of dollars every year. And this is the image they portray and that millions of Americans buy into this image. And you can, like, swap it off for a lot of different things, whether it be, like, Rolex or Timex watches. Or cars or anything else. Like, there's an image that gets portrayed in those commercials, those advertisements. There's a certain thing that a lifestyle they try to promote. And I realize that most of the time it's kind of useless. Like, it's not really that productive. You know, it's not like Rolex watches. Now you can tell time while you do, I don't know, mission trips. You know, maybe if it did, I could, like, ask JBD to get, hey, can I get $10,000 for Rolex? Help me do mission trips, you know? But it's not. It's not really that productive. It's not really that fruitful. And that really reflects on people. I wonder, in Christians, are we much different? What do we look for? What do we go for in life? Do we fall for these kind of images or impressions where we just kind of look good? We just sit there and we look good. We look cool. Or do we actually do something productive? Or is it all about just appearances? Is there something that's productive? Is there something godly in our actions? John writes in 1 John 2, 15-17, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever." See, notice that the love of the world, based on the advertisements, it's a lot of self, you know? It's like, make me look good, make me look this, right? I buy this car because it gives me this certain status. I wear these clothing items because it makes me look certain cool or sexy or makes me stand out. It draws attention to me. And I think that's, sometimes Christians end up being like that too. We subconsciously follow the world's ideas. We follow the world's images, the impressions, the lifestyles. That sometimes we end up thinking more about ourselves. In church, we want status, we want power, we want position, we want to be seen. But how many of us really do? How many of us love the world instead of God? And that John breaks down the world or the things in the world, right? Again, it's not like, you know, oh, pants are of the world, therefore I should walk around without pants. Oh, no. You know, not like that. But rather, he describes it as the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride of life. The ESV and other Bible things, either pride of life could also be translated as pride in possessions, the material possessions that you have. And that it's contrasted with whoever does the will of God. That the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life are contrasted with doing the will of God. And the question is, which one of the camps are we in? You know, I see, again, the advertisements, I see desires of the flesh. They're all, again, the flesh here is not necessarily like sinful things per se, but rather things that are desires of the human, that give you human pleasure apart from God. That's the image that John is giving. So you look at the advertisements, the people are having fun doing things that are totally independent of God. God is not in the picture. Right? Imagine, again, if like Hollister or Express was like, you know, like, I don't know, they're praying or soup kitchen or something. You know, they're reading the Bible. The new Express jeans, $100, helps you read the Bible better, you know? All the male models are like, you know, praying or something, you know? Like, but in the advertisements, the pleasures are all independent of God. And that's the desires of the flesh that John talks about. How about the desires of the eyes? We see things that we want, and we end up coveting. We end up desiring what we see. Right? People go into the stores, the clothing stores, and Apple stores, and all the stores, and you see things, and you end up desiring that kind of stuff. You end up wanting it for yourself to make you look better. I look at an advertisement for, I don't know, clothing, or car, or house, or electronics, or whatever, and I think, what can this do to help me? I get desires. I end up yearning for that kind of stuff. Or how about the pride of life or material possessions? That's the idea of you end up boasting. You celebrate. This is what I have. Look what I have. Right? In the advertisements, you see people that are like, I have these clothing items. Yay, look how cool I am. They celebrate. You know, they want to show it off. And these are all contrasted with doing the will of God. And I think Christians, again, we a lot of times we just assume that we're doing the right thing. We assume that we're not in that wrong camp. We assume that we're following God. But we need to really sit down and ponder this. In our lives, do we have the love of the world? Do we have desires of the flesh? What makes you happy? What makes you enjoy life? What things do you want to see in the future? You know, if we had an advertisement for what, you know, like imagine, like, what's the goal in your life? What's the biggest pleasure? What gives you the most fun, so per se? What's the biggest desire in your life? And if we made an advertisement about it, what would it look like? What message would it send? Is it a fleshly desire that makes you happy, that makes you look good? Or is it something that makes God look good, that makes God happy? Does it end up bringing attention to yourself or bring attention to God himself? Is your life characterized by desires of the flesh? Do you do things to make yourself happy? Or how about desires of the eyes? Right? We see advertisements. When I go in the store, I see a lot of advertisements. They show certain pictures. And in my head, I start thinking about it. I think, man, it'd be cool to look like that. You know? It'd be cool to be good looking. It'd be cool to be this. It'd be cool to be that. And my eyes start thinking, that's where it's at. Right? You go into a lot of other stores. You go to Brookstone. Man, I want a massage chair. Oh, I need a helicopter that can fight with another helicopter. Oh, you know, the desires of the eyes. And the question is, what are your eyes set upon? We all have certain goals. We all have certain things that we look at, that are our desires, that we enjoy looking at. What is it? For Christians, the Bible tells us to set our eyes on Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. Are your eyes set on Jesus Christ, or are they set on other things? Are they looking forward to that new promotion, the bigger house, the bigger paycheck? Are they looking for a future of just fun? Are they looking for retirement? Or are your eyes set upon Jesus Christ and something else, and only Jesus Christ and doing his will? Because again, otherwise, if your desires are all about your flesh, you love the world. And as John said, the love of the Father is not in him. If you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. You can't love God and love the world at the same time. If your desires are on the flesh and on yourself, you cannot have the love of God in you at the same time. If your eyes are all looking at worldly things and you're desiring them, you can't have the love of God in you. Likewise, the pride of life or possessions. What gives you pride? Imagine if you had an advertisement to talk about yourself. What would it be? Would it be just what you have, what you've accomplished for yourself personally? What would it be like? Think of it as a resume, as a person, and you were to show this resume. What's the most important, valuable things to your life? Is it your material possessions? Is it your lifestyle? Is it what? Is it God? Is it what God has done in your life? What you've done for your life? I think it's a really valid thing that we need to sit down and really think about it. Because I've seen a lot of people that they think they have the love of God, but in reality they don't, because they never sit down and really ponder it and think about it themselves. And a lot of us are still growing and learning as well. But we need to always sit back, because sometimes these things creep back in us. Because the world wants to tell us that happiness is found in this and happiness is in that. You need this and you want that. And we end up slowly loving that instead of God. So when you really need to sit down and meditate, really ponder, do we have the love of God in us? What is your goal in life? What do you set your eyes upon? What are you always looking at? Are you looking for the gold retirement watch for a lot of the working class people? Not working class, the working people, that working age people, there we go. Are you looking for that gold retirement watch someday? Are you looking all about retirement and relaxing? Are you looking for the bigger paychecks, the bigger cubicle, the bigger office? Is that what gets you going? Or is serving Jesus Christ? For the younger people, is it getting that girl or guy in sixth period, I don't know, gym class or whatever? What is it that you guys want? Is it that video game character that you really want to buy or level up or something? Some kid's nodding right there. That's not a good sign. So what is your desires? What gets you on fire? What do you love? And you really need to analyze this on a really deep level. Because again, if I say, do you love the world? Do you love God? You instantly go, of course I love God. I'm a Christian. But when you take a step back and really ponder, is that the same answer? And also, love of God is, the person that does the will of God has the love of God. In your life, are you driven by the will of God? Like in Henry Blackaby's Experiencing God book, he makes a really good point that I like, that really hit me. A lot of people like to ask, what is God's will for my life? You know, what does God want me to do? What is God planning for me? And notice that it all comes back to me, 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 me. What is God's will for my life? What is God's will for me? You know, and in reality, and Henry Blackaby makes a good point, is that we shouldn't be asking, what is God's will for me? Because that becomes self-centered, but we should ask, what is God's will? How many of you guys really seek out God's will? What is God's will? Not just for your life, but what is God's will? And do you do it? Because sometimes we focus too much on, what is God's will for my life? What about me? What does God specifically want me to do at this situation right now? But not enough of us really look at what's God's will in general. And the question is, do we do God's will in our day-to-day? Are our lives built around doing God's will? Does your job somehow help you fulfill God's will? Does your house somehow fulfill God's will? Does your car somehow fulfill God's will? Do your relationships somehow fulfill God's will? Does everything in your life fulfill God's will, or do they fulfill the desires of your flesh, the desires of your eyes, and the pride of your life? And of course, we can't really know much about the will of God unless we have the Word of God. And I think that's a really good indicator. How much of God's Word do you know? Because God has revealed His will in this book to tell you all sorts of things. But then how can we know God's will if we don't listen to what He says? Do we do the will of God? Because again, there's that dichotomy. There's desires of the flesh, desires of the eyes, pride and possessions, and life. Versus the will of God. Again, they're contradictory. You can't have both. They fight against each other. You can't have both. You can't have the desires of the flesh and serve God at the same time. So application questions. I want to ask you all to really honestly ponder to yourselves. Do you love the world? And what I mean by that is, are your desires set on your own pleasure? Who is the focal point of your pleasure? What makes you happy? What makes you joyful inside? Is it things that make you happy, or is it things that make God happy? Because if all you do is think about what makes you happy, then you automatically love the world and not God. The love of God cannot dwell within you. How about, are your desires based on what you see in the world? Right? What gets you, what tempts you, so to speak? What gets you going? Is it things that you see out there? When you see this person has that, or this person has that, or that girl looks like that, or that guy does this, is that what gives you desire? Or is it more godly things? When you see, you know, when you see a missionary go to Africa do this, does that get you on fire? Does that give you desire to serve God? When you see somebody preach a good sermon someday, and like, you know, the Pipers or whatever, Francis Chan, does that get you on fire and give you desire? When you read your Bible, when you set your eyes on that, does that give you desire? Or is it worldly things? Again, you can't have both. You can't have worldly pleasures and fleshly desires and have godly desires and godly pleasures at the same time. You can't have both. So what are your desires based on? Your eyes, what do you look at? What really gets you going? You know, like when I looked at the clothing advertisements, it kind of turned me off. I was like, I don't have a boat. Next one, you know, like, you know. What gets you on fire? What gets you going? What really gets you on fire for God? And is your pride based on your life or what you have? Jeremiah said that the one who boasts, the rich man should not boast in his riches, the strong man should not boast on his strength, the wise man should not boast on his wisdom. But there is one thing that God tells us to boast about, and that is that he knows the Lord. What are you most proud of in your life? Is it your status in your job, status in your work? Is it your children? Is it your friends? Is it your video games or your sports rankings or whatever? What is the biggest thing you're proud of that you want to show off to people? Is it you or is it God? What is your biggest pride in life? Because again, you can't have both. You can't put God and something else on the same level. Is your pride based on your life or what you have? Or is it based upon God? And the question is, do you love God? And how do we know that whether or not we love God? Do you seek to do the will of God? Right? Jesus says that by this will the others know that you are my disciples, that you love one another. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. The Great Commission says that we're to make disciples and teach them to obey all that I've commanded them. Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Jesus said that I do nothing except the will of the Father. I don't say anything except what the Father tells me. And also this whole will of God thing, will of God thing, will of God thing, that the Christians are always doing the will of God. Are we doing the will of God? How is your past week, your past day, your past month, the past 20 years of your life, how does that work toward the will of God? I think that's a good question. How is God's will being fulfilled in your life? Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. But is that what you do? Do you seek the kingdom of God? Do you seek out God's will? Is your mind set upon what does God want? What does God want to do? What makes God happy? And again, look at your life. Honestly, take a look at your life. See how you spend your time. See how you spend your money. See how you spend your life. Is it fulfilling the will of God? Can you go up to God and say, look, I've fulfilled these aspects of your will, Father. I did this and I did that and I prayed to you and you enabled me to spread the word and, you know, that kind of stuff. Can you honestly say that before God, that you have sought out his will? And of course, if you haven't, it's not necessarily game over. Right, there's the parable of the fruitless tree, right? And the guy says, okay, I'll water it up, I'll give it some time. If it still doesn't have fruit in time, we'll cut it down later. God has still given us mercy. God has given us grace that if we haven't done it yet, we can always still change until it's too late. But until now, right now, we have an ability to change. We have an ability to learn. And again, I want to remind everybody, too, kind of like, related to my sermon last week, that it's all based upon the gospel message of Jesus Christ. That we want to do the will of God. We want to do all these things because God has thought about us. That Jesus Christ died for our sins. That Jesus Christ redeemed us. Jesus Christ gave us freedom. Jesus Christ gave us his righteousness. Jesus Christ gave us eternal life. That when we think about the will of God, this isn't a tyrant that we're trying to fulfill. God isn't sitting there with an iron fist saying, you got to follow me, you got to follow me. What you're doing? Oh, you're so selfish, But rather, Jesus Christ has taken the initiative. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That Jesus Christ has died for our sins. That he's shown us ultimate love. There is no greater love than this, than when a man lays down his life for his friends. Jesus Christ showed ultimate love for us. And that when we think about that love, instead of looking at the world, I think that'll drive us toward doing God's will. When we think about God's love for us, when we think about Christ's sacrifice, when we think about the Holy Spirit's empowerment, when we think about the Word of God, when we dwell upon that stuff, it should move us toward doing the will of God. So where's your mind at? Where's your love? Is your love on the world? Is your life built upon the desires of the flesh? Or is it built upon the desires of the eyes? Or is it built upon the desires of the pride of life? Or is your life built upon the love of God who died for your sins and built a relationship to you and gave you eternal life, and gave you his righteousness, and made you a new creation, and did all that stuff. So this is something that I have to think about too as well, that we're always learning, we're always changing, we're fallible people to an infallible God. And that, myself included, I always got to think about it too. Am I using my time in a way that glorifies God? Am I using the money that I get to glorify God? Am I using my possessions, like my car, my camera, whatever? Are those things somehow glorifying God? Otherwise, if I'm not glorifying God, I'm glorifying the world. I'm glorifying myself. And again, there's a big dichotomy. You can't have two in the same thing. You can either love God or love the world. James says that you can't hate man and love God at the same time. You can't pour forth fresh water and salt water from the same spring. Right? There's a lot of imagery in the Bible that shows there's a dichotomy. You can't have both. They're mutually exclusive. You can't have one or the other one. And I think Christians really need to think about that. You can't love a little world and some God. You need to love one or the other one. You cannot love God or money. He will serve one master and hate the other. So as we go out during this week, during these months, during these years, I pray that all of us, including myself, will continue to serve God, that we fulfill the world, will fulfill the world, the will of God instead of fulfilling our own will, that we look at what does God want? And again, like, I really encourage you guys to read your Bible. God's will is revealed really clearly in there. It's pretty clearly laid out what we're supposed to do with our lives. It's not like, you know, cryptic or something like that. It's not like Nostradamus. We need to read some couplets or something. It's very clear what God's will is for our lives. It's really clear what God wants in the world. And as Christians, again, I encourage you all to really consider that. What is it that we're looking for? What is it that gives desires? What gives us pleasure? And if any of us, again, have that problem, we realize that we're in the wrong, don't immediately, you know, like, oh, game over, get the cyanide pill out. All right, remember that there was a person who wanted his son to be healed, and Jesus said, do you have faith? And that person said, I believe, Lord. And he prayed, he asked Jesus to help him out with his faith. He staggered with his faith. He didn't help me. You know, he knew that he had problems, but he prayed to Jesus and said, I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. And if any of us have problems with desires, problem with the world, problem with looking at the world instead of God, we can pray to God to help us out. Just as that man said, he told Jesus, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. So if any of us have that problem, we can always pray to God. Right? James says that if anyone lacks wisdom, he can pray to God, and God will generously give it to him. So during this week and during the rest of your life, I pray that you all will just seek the will of God, seek the desires of God, seek to do the will of God. Don't just sit there and go, oh, I like God, but rather do it. Go show it. Present yourselves, worthy servants. So that when Jesus Christ sees you in the end times, he'll say, well done, good and faithful servant. So again, make sure the gospel powers your life. The love of Jesus Christ is imminent in your life. That shows where your love is. Thank you, Father, for sending your Son to die on the cross for us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for giving us love. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the ability to love you, a holy and perfect God that we're so unworthy to love and to even look at. I pray that this whole congregation, Lord, this whole church and Christians as a whole, Lord, will look toward you. They look toward you for desire. Look toward you for pleasure. Look toward you for sustenance. Look to you for joy. Look to you for fulfillment. Look to you for just everything in our lives, Lord, that you are the central focal point of everything. I pray that this will be fueled by the love of Jesus Christ who died for our sins. That it will be fueled with love, Lord. That's the central point, that we feel your love, and therefore we want to seek out your love. Lord, I pray that all of us will tangibly live out your will, that we will always look toward your will, that our lives will be built upon your will, and that when we end up passing away, Lord, when that time comes, that we can look back and say that, yes, we were in line with your will, that we loved you and not the world. I pray all these things in your Son's most precious name. Amen.